I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock. This is something different. This is a safe space here for independent thought. I think I should expand the way I enter each show. I talk about independent thinkers, but you don't have to necessarily be an independent thinker. Just for a couple hours a day, it's good to get outside of groupthink and get into some thought that's not allowable by the group, and then you can go back and get into your tribe. But anyway, it's 2 hours here of kind of independent news analysis, looking at it, current events and politics without the praise or worship of either political party or any politician. And today we've got in studio with us for the entire show, I believe, Ron Morris from Mississippi Libertarian Party. Ron, thanks for joining us today.
How's it going, Mike?
Good, good. Today's election day. You're headed out to do some campaigning. Ron's the chairman of the Mississippi Libertarian Party for right now. Anyway, are you on your way? Are you ending your reign?
I am. All the power and the glory, it has to come to an end. So.
Well, it's time to get out and cash out, right?
Yeah, I got to start making all the money
right, from
it. I've been two-term chairman of the Libertarian Party for Mississippi, and I think it's time to hand the reins over to somebody else. I just don't like to be in charge that much.
Yeah.
And
Libertarian Party is a little bit like herding cats, isn't it?
It is. It's a lot of fun. You know, it's got a lot of personalities.
Right. Well, you know, that's the one downside to, you know, libertarian or free thinkers is that you don't get that coherent group where everybody thinks exactly the same and really kind of toes the party line.
Right. So, I'm not a puppet master. That's for sure. There's a lot of independent thinking. With the independent thinkers, you're going to have disagreements and people not being on the same page. People like to ask what libertarians believe. Well, that's kind of hard to pin down to say we believe in A, B, C. We want you to believe in what's best for you personally. So, it's kind of hard to keep that together.
Well, that's the thing that's a little frustrating even on the national level of the Libertarian Party. Because there are so many different wings of Libertarian Party. I love it because of the fact that there is not just this idea that that everybody has to think the same, and it's largely about everybody just leaving each other alone. But it doesn't feel like there become so many wings of Libertarian Party. If they could just get down to the core. Because, libertarians are different than a lot of other people. If somebody wants to be a socialist, I fully support their desire to be a socialist.
Well, we actually do have a libertarian socialist caucus.
Right, so, exactly.
Which, to me, is counterintuitive.
Right.
But if you wanted to be in a group that you do socialized group think, by all means, as long as it doesn't affect me.
Right.
As long as you voluntarily do that.
Right.
Absolutely.
And I have encouraged people oftentimes, if they want to be a socialist, start with their immediate family. See how that works out for you.
it's not going to work out well.
It lasts 2 weeks maybe at the most before somebody starts getting ticked off you're taking all their money.
Right.
But the core of just the idea of just not imposing anything on anybody else just seems to be – it's so simple. And, I don't know. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. We're watching what's – this is a teachable moment to me with what's happening with Donald Trump, because now conservatives see the danger of the deep state.
Right.
Conservatives, myself included, back when I was a Kool-Aid drinking Republican, We loved the guys and gals in the CIA and the FBI and the NSA, and we gave them all the power in the world to fight this war on terror and to face down the Soviets and, you know, all this expanding power to the deep state. And now I think it's a teachable moment for everybody to understand this is what happens. And libertarians have been screaming about this for decades.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that centralized intelligence unit, the whole community, it's a scary thought. I mean, to think how many files they have on everybody.
Yeah.
And how they use those. And so if you get somebody in there that has a political agenda of themselves, or which that everybody typically does, and how that gets used really slants America in not a favorable position.
Yeah. And it's like I say, libertarians have been screaming about it for 30 years. And before I came to it, I mean, like I say, I didn't understand this, but I definitely started to see it in the early 2000s with the wars, and things didn't make sense, and the wars weren't going like I thought they were supposed to go, and then the Patriot Act came.
Even
when I was a Kool-Aid drinking Republican, when I heard about that Patriot Act, I thought, ooh, that sounds kind of Soviet.
Yeah, that it didn't really make a lot of sense, especially coming from a conservative movement. I mean, that one just was like...
Well, it was sold. I mean, it was sold by a conservative.
Right. It was sold. It was pushed.
W. Bush.
Right. I mean, that was pushed as, we're doing this for America, and this is a Patriot Act.
Right.
You know, if you're against this, you're not American.
Right.
And it's crazy. They could have passed any law that they wanted to after 9/11, and they chose to take away all our freedoms.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
did what the terrorists couldn't do.
Yeah, yeah. Like, hey, oh, actually, we're going to give them exactly what they wanted. We're going to take your freedoms away.
Well, it's interesting. Recently, in this deep state coup against Donald Trump, you know, we're seeing kind of the predictable WWE lineup of Republicans on one side, Democrats on the other, and they both shout at each other, and they go through the whole political theater thing. Steve Scalise, the guy, I think he's from Louisiana, and he's was the congressman who got shot.
Right.
He came out and said this is a Soviet-style witch hunt, or their Soviet-style hearings held in secret and all that stuff. And while not to really even debate that point, the way that it hit me was I thought, well, why don't we look at all the Soviet-style stuff that is going on in the United States right now?
Yeah, I mean, we are more and more like the USSR than that's even imaginable.
Well, I mean, a progressive income tax.
Right.
The schooling, the indoctrination centers of schooling that just put out these drones, the surveillance that they do on our society. So let's get that conversation started, Mr. Scalise.
Absolutely. Let's go down that road.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
I mean, we are really monitored, and, you know, like the education system is a perfect example of they just put cookie cutter into their belief system. And I mean, it's just... it's crazy.
And the fact that individual communities can't wrestle that control back away from the federal government, who has really instituted this, you know, this national sweeping since the Department of Education in the 70s, it's amazing to me. Now, you're in Clinton, right?
I am.
Yeah, and I've lived in Madison. My kids went to Madison schools. I was pretty happy with the Madison schools. Didn't see a lot of propaganda type stuff. Didn't see a lot of climate change things. Right. Now my son's at Ole Miss, and he told me the other day he kind of likes Bernie Sanders. So ever vigilant. But so communities can have good schools, but nationwide the results are not encouraging.
Well, you know, because it comes back to funding. You know, if you stand up to the big bully man that's going to tell you how to teach your kids, your purse strings are going to be cut.
Yeah.
I mean, because they're going to say you failed at indoctrinating your kids, so you're not going to have the money sent to you.
Right.
I mean, that's what it is right now. It's just the big funding going to these communities that the whole community now depends on, because they've been subsidized for so long, all these teachers and everything else, have just, I mean, quite frankly, just lived off that funding.
Yeah. All right, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, a lot of people view this as Election Day. Mm-hmm. Everybody's heading to the polls for Hood or or Tate Reeves. It's a different kind of day to me. I don't know if you know. Do you know what the significance of today is?
Maybe I don't.
Maybe in a little bit of the freedom movement?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, it's something that's not observed here in the United States, but we're going to observe it here on the Mike Madison Show when we come back. We're talking to Ron Morris, Mississippi Libertarian Party. Stay with us. We'll be right back. If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller, and Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com. We are back here today with Ron Morse, Mississippi Libertarian Party. Okay, so Ron, so to most people it's election day today. I think the whole gist of this show is this is something different. It doesn't matter what the topic is. This show is going to come at it from a different point of view. Today is Guy Fawkes Day. Remember the 5th of November.
Yes, absolutely.
This is celebrated in England. I'm going to play a clip in just a second why I'm so interested in Guy Fawkes Day.
Right.
It's kind of funny to me. Guy Fawkes, if anyone wants to visualize it, Guy Fawkes is the mask that Anonymous wears. A lot of protesters wear the Guy Fawkes mask.
Right. V for Vendetta.
V for Vendetta. Fantastic movie.
Absolutely.
For anybody who loves freedom and fighting against an oppressive state, V for Vendetta is one of your go-to movies.
But everybody likes those type of movies. They just don't want to vote that way.
You're exactly right.
You know, all the Braveheart. I mean, all of it. You look at all these movies, it talks about toppling all these tyranny-filled, you know, masters.
That is, you are exactly right. I've talked about that before. It is so odd that that kind of stuff, and somehow politicians convince us to turn our back on that kind of behavior.
Oh, no, actually, we really want tyranny. We were just kidding. We'd select movies.
Right. You watch, you know, a ragtag bunch of people in Red Dawn fight against the Soviet invaders, and everybody cheers for them in the United States. Then we can go invade a country and call anybody who fights back against us insurgents.
Or like the Patriot with Mel Gibson. I mean, all these movies that you think about that they fought tyranny. And freedom-loving and all this sort of thing.
Right.
And then we just say, hey, we were just kidding about those freedoms. We really, really didn't.
Right. Yeah. Guy Fawkes, okay. Guy Fawkes Day, it's also Bonfire Night and Firework Night, is an annual commemoration observed on the 5th of November, primarily in the United Kingdom. Its history begins with the events of the 5th of November, 1605, when Guy Fawkes, a member of the Gunpowder Plot, was arrested while guarding explosives the plotters had placed beneath the House of Lords. Now, this is where I think it's kind of funny. It seems to have boomeranged back. Celebrating the fact that King James I had survived the attempt on his life, people lit bonfires around London, and months later, the introduction of the Observance of 5th of November Act enforced an annual public day of thanksgiving for the plot's failure. So, you know, the king and the royals forced their citizens to celebrate the fact that they did. And what Guy Fawkes was doing in the Gunpowder Plot was they had planted these explosives underneath essentially Parliament, whatever it was called at the time, and they were waiting for a meeting of really all of the governing body, and they were going to blow them all up. Not that we are encouraging anything like that on the show, but it was. And the thing that's different, I don't care as much about the plot. I'm about to play a clip from V from Vendetta, which gets me fired up about it. But it had real religious overtones.
Right.
You know, this was a Protestant Catholic thing is really what this was about. But anyway, so, all right, well, here's the clip, and I apologize. There's really no way to pull this speech out of anything. It's in a movie, so there's some kind of backtrack and some characters talking, but I love this. This is when V for Vendetta, this is V for Vendetta, the movie. He's the guy in the Guy Fawkes mask, and he comes on, he hijacks the airwaves across the country, and he makes this speech again with apologies for the fact that this is a movie clip. But I love the speech.
Oh,
it's just, I love speeches about throwing off the shackles.
Yeah, and yeah, it's like Ayn Rand, the movie where he talks to talking to the court, how y'all can't subject me to your laws.
Right.
And it gets my blood just.
Yeah. And again, these are in the tradition of Braveheart and The Patriot and, you know, The Matrix and all these other movies about fighting oppressive state that everybody cheers for when it's in Hollywood, just not so much in real life.
Right.
Good evening, London. Allow me first to apologize for
this. That's the emergency chat.
I do, like many of you, appreciate the comforts of everyday routine, the security of the familiar, the tranquility of repetition.
Bloody hell.
I enjoy them as much as any bloke. But in the spirit of commemoration, whereby those important events of the past, usually associated with someone's death or the end of some awful bloody struggle, are celebrated with a nice holiday, I thought we could mark this November the 5th, a day that is sadly no longer remembered, by taking some time out of our daily lives to sit down and have a little chat. There are, of course, those who do not want us to speak.
Let me think, just let me think.
I suspect even now, orders are being shouted into telephones, and men with guns will soon be on their way.
It's Chancellor Sutler.
Damn it!
Why? Because while the truncheon may be used in lieu of conversation, words will always retain their power. Words offer the means to meaning, and for those who will listen, the enunciation of truth. And the truth is, there is something terribly wrong with this country, isn't there?
You designed it, sir. You wanted it foolproof. You told me every television in London.
Cruelty and injustice, intolerance and oppression. And where once you had the freedom to object, to think and speak as you saw fit, you now have sensors and systems of surveillance coercing your conformity and soliciting your submission.
We need cameras.
How did this happen? Who's to blame? Well, certainly there are those who are more responsible than others, and they will be held accountable. But again, truth be told, if you're looking for the guilty, you need only look into a mirror.
Boom.
I know why you did it. I know you were afraid. Who wouldn't be? War, terror, disease. There were a myriad of problems which conspired to corrupt your reason and rob you of your common sense. Fear got the best of you, and in your panic you turned to the now High Chancellor, Adam Sutler. He promised you order, he promised you peace, and all he demanded in return was your silent, obedient consent.
Inspector, you're almost through.
Last night, I sought to end that silence. Last night, I destroyed the Old Bailey to remind this country of what it has forgotten. More than 400 years ago, a great citizen wished to embed the 5th of November forever in our memory. His hope was to remind the world that fairness, justice, and freedom are more than words. They are perspectives. So if you've seen nothing, if the crimes of this government remain unknown to you, then I would suggest that you allow the 5th of November to pass unmarked. But if you see what I see, if you feel as I feel, and if you would seek as I seek, then I ask you to stand beside me 1 year from tonight, outside the gates of Parliament, and together we shall give them a 5th of November that shall never, ever be forgotten.
I love it.
Man, gets the blood pumping, doesn't it?
You know, it's one of those things where, I mean, I think it's such a good social commentary on where we are. If people listen to that and you realize he says, look, I understand. I don't want to interrupt your day. I know you're comfortable sitting there on your couch and watching football and you're on Facebook and stuff. But hey, you need to look in the mirror and see what you've accepted. And he talks about the surveillance. He talks about the fact of people being silenced and all these things. Yeah. I mean, these things are happening right now.
I mean, we can actually look in the mirror right now for that movie. I'm just be like, where did we get this wrong? And, you know, and we just continue down this path of just erosion of civil liberties.
I'm not sure what year this movie was made in, but anyway, and so the Guy Fawkes mask that is in V for Vendetta has become very popular. It was very interesting. I was very interested in Anonymous. I've told my son, you know, my son's getting into computer science. I said, all right, learn how to be a hacker now. I've got some chores for you. I've always been interested in Anonymous. But boy, it's been co-opted. You don't know who's doing what. Yeah, I mean, it's a dangerous operation particularly. But, you know, that's where we are. We're fat and happy and taking our eye off the prize. And
that's it.
I am always conscious of the fact that I talk to a conservative audience, and I've been in their shoes. I have, and I mean, I've still got a lot of very conservative principles. That's why I'm on this show doing it on this station. But I was in those shoes of thinking that the deep state and all of the surveillance and stuff was necessary to keep us safe. You know, he hits on it in that speech where he said, I know how this happened.
Yeah, it's scary out there.
Yeah, you know? Fear and war and famine, you know, all this stuff. They fear. They've used it against you, and you've been cowed into submission on this stuff. And that is exactly what's happening in the United States.
Oh, yeah, we have to have a protector against all these evil villains, you know.
Climate change, terrorism.
It's just everywhere. You know, and they feed off that fear. That's where the power comes from, is creating these scare tactics to push against airwaves, push against every speech they have. They have a boogeyman.
And to do these things that people would never in good conscience allow. I mean, it just is stunning to me, the surveillance side of things right now. The fact that people in this, I guess this is what happened in the Soviet Union, too. People now say, well, if you're not doing anything wrong, you've got nothing to fear.
Right.
But they don't stop and think, well, what happens when that Hillary Clinton or that Beto O'Rourke, I mean, I know it's not Beto, but when someone like that takes power and then suddenly your AR-15 is, you know, if you can't you can't talk to your friends about still having it, how are we going to protect these things? You don't say a word, because suddenly something that used to be legal is now illegal, and you've given away all of your privacy.
Yeah, and it's already too late.
Right.
It's a complete delay. So when that person gets in charge, power in charge, and uses against you, it's too late.
Right.
We should have been protecting these rights and them not having that ability at all.
But there's no foresight in that.
There's none. They're just like, well, it's on our side, so we can use that against the other person.
Right.
Well, when they get in power, and they always do, and they come back and use it 10 times worse.
Yeah, and the left, who just loves the deep state now. You know, have you seen this? The left loves the CIA and the FBI now.
I mean, it's just like a yo-yo string going up and down, up and down. It's just whatever is for their movement, they're all about for that time.
And then they're shocked it's used against them the next time.
Well, how in the world would you do that?
Yeah.
And that's one thing I'm really prideful about a libertarian is we have principles. I mean, we don't just sit here and say, hey, the wind's blowing this way, the wind's blowing that way, we're going to change. No, we're against it no matter who's in power, no matter whatever is going to happen. We're going to have those principles. We're going to stick to them regardless.
That is actually something I've been talking about this week. When Rand Paul, once again, last week, introduced his 2% across the board budget cuts.
2%.
2%. It was voted down. Let me say this. I tell you what, we're going to take a break. I want to talk about that because people need to be aware of some voting records. And Jody Ernst, is a Republican as well, and she has announced some spending cuts. And I want to talk about the fate of her spending cuts versus the fate of Rand Paul's spending cuts and what the difference in them are.
Right.
This is a glimpse into the political system and how you know when you're being scammed.
Oh, yeah. It's all a scam.
Yeah. So. I mean, it basically is. And Rand Paul Trump supporters should be loving Rand Paul right now. He's been a big supporter of Donald Trump. He seems to get Donald Trump's ear. Donald Trump's pretty complimentary of Rand Paul now, not so much in the campaign trail. But but again, Rand Paul actually has a core belief that spending is bad even when the Republicans do it.
Yeah, and that's what a lot of people should have, that feeling.
But. Yeah. All right, we're going to talk about that when we come back. Y'all stay with us. We've got Ron Morris from Mississippi Libertarian Party in studio with us today. Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he's the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love. So
are back. This is the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, talking to Ron Morris, Mississippi Libertarian Party. Okay, so here you go, Ron. This is we had some bipartisan agreement in Washington, D.C.
That's scary.
Jody Ernst, I did a story about her last week. She I kind of like her. She's a Republican from Iowa. She's a senator. And she had called attention to, I think it was $630,000 that had been spent on koozies and, you know, mouse pads and T-shirts and tchotchkes, even like $16,000 on fidget spinners that the federal government was spending money on.
Oh, cool.
So she put together this little, we need to get rid of this.
Right.
And I thought, okay, that's fine. I mean, I'm thinking on the same day I'd done a story about the $32 million an hour we're spending on the war on terror.
Yeah, I mean, we got a scalpel. We really need like a big hatchet coming
right, exactly. You know? Anyway, so she's, this is a story yesterday on Breitbart. Joni Ernst cheered the Senate's passing of two of her bills to rein in wasteful government spending. The Senate passed two of Senator Ernst's proposals to cut back on wasteful government spending, which continued her long legacy of making Washington, D.C., quote-unquote, squeal by cutting back on wasteful spending as well as eliminating fraud from the government. The first proposal, known as the Bogus Bonus Ban Act, would cut bonuses for federal contractors that do not meet the federal government standards. The other bill, otherwise known as the Billion-Dollar Boondoggle Act, would expose taxpayer-funded projects that are billions of dollars over budget and over 5 years behind schedule. Senator Ernst thanked her Senate colleagues for passing the proposals, noting that the bills are, quote, common sense and straightforward. Now, it goes through here, and I cheer anybody who wants to get rid of anything that's wasteful and repetitive.
Transparency, I love it. You know?
Right. Here's where I knew that these bills must not be worth the paper they're written on. The Senate included Ernst's two proposals in an appropriations package, which was passed by an overwhelmingly bipartisan vote of 84-9.
Oh, there's some money being spent.
Obviously, this has no impact whatsoever.
Yeah, so they're actually probably been promised that they're going to have more spending on something else.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it is.
84-9. Do we actually believe that the Senate of the United States is going to pass 84-9 anything that drastically cuts their spending?
Yeah, bipartisan scares me.
Right. If they're voting to undo something, it's usually good. This may be the exception to that. Now I went into, and we started talking about it. Rand Paul a few years ago introduced his penny plan.
Oh yes.
1% cut across the board of federal spending. Republicans and Democrats, neither one of them supported it.
They thought it was ludicrous.
Right.
One penny.
And he got almost no votes for that, I believe. He's essentially ignored.
Yeah, it was pretty ignored. I mean, I think they had like 5 to 10 votes for it.
Yeah. Because he now is to the point where we've gone further down the road, and his goal is to actually balance the budget at some point. And I know in Rand Paul's heart, this is the tough thing. He must be knocking his head against the wall. He'd like to cut 50%, but he's trying to be at least give them something they can work with. So he starts with a penny plan, 1% across the board cuts for 5 years. Now, since we've run up so many more deficits since he first introduced this, now it is the 2 cent plans, the two penny plan. Again, it was voted down. I think he got 25 votes this time, though. Now, as next year, it'll probably have to be 3 cents. You know, he's going to have to keep doing this because the deficits keep getting bigger. But I did what most people will not do, and I went and looked and saw who voted for that. Would you care to guess? Who voted against Rand Paul's 2% across-the-board spending when it comes to the senator representatives of the state of Mississippi, Roger Wicker and Cindy Hyde-Smith?
I probably know this one.
they were both a strong nay.
Yeah. Limited government? Yeah, that's not happening with those two. It's just not. They're not limited government people.
How many Mississippians think it is unacceptable to cut 2% from federal budgets across the board? We just crossed a couple of days ago. We crossed $23 trillion in debt.
I mean, and I'm like, hey, give me 75%. Let's cut it down.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you can't even vote for 2%. And we're runaway train. We're going straight for that cliff. I mean,
I'm going to call their offices and try to get a comment on that.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to hear what they have to say. Well, yeah. I would love to hear the reasoning for that.
Yeah, so I'm going to call and get a comment on that. I did a little bit of other research here, too. In fiscal 1999, when Bill Clinton was president, total federal spending, according to monthly Treasury statements, was $1,702,942,000,000 in 1999 dollars. But here's what's important. In 1999, I was alive in 1999. You?
I was.
I was a functioning adult.
Well,
you?
I was adult.
Encroaching on adulthood. Everything was fine. As a matter of fact, it was a pretty big boom time in our economy.
Mm-hmm.
That was leading into the 2000 crash. It was, you know, a lot of the go-go time of that was internet, stuff like that. But the bottom line is our federal government was functioning at all levels. There was no catastrophe. The roads were probably in better condition than they are now. The bridges were in better condition than they are now. Everything can be said. That budget in 2019 dollars, so this is even allowing for inflation, would be $2.6 trillion.
Phew, that's a far stretch from where we're at now.
We've got a $4.4 trillion budget now.
Yeah, and I just, wow.
That's how much government has grown. And that is what Cindy Hyde-Smith and Roger Wicker can't see their way to cutting 2% of what we've done.
Yeah, I mean, where is this limited government? People, you know, they want to campaign on, oh, we are up there to fight all this leftist spending, you know, we're going to bring the money back to the taxpayers. Yeah, right.
Well, I tried to find, I didn't bookmark a story. It was actually on the Daily Caller, where it called out the fact that Republicans used to be fiscal hawks and they're not. It had a bunch of quotes from Mitch McConnell and I can't remember who all else. Several people who were serving today. All these quotes from 2011, 2014, 2015, back when Obama was in office,
and
where
they
were
flipped.
They were such fiscal hawks. Right. Mitch McConnell led the charge to not get Rand Paul's 2% through.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the facts are the facts, and they don't care about fiscal responsibility at all.
But they seem to have a problem with the Syrian government.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that a threat to the United States?
Absolutely not. There's no Syrian that's ever I felt threatened by at all. I don't need a protector from Syria. I don't need a protector from myself. I don't need a protector from anything. I just want to be left alone.
It's the one thing that actually will will actually sink the United States is this spending. And it is being completely ignored and totally within our own control.
Right.
Yet we've made boogeymen all over the world that are sovereign countries operating in their own best interest, whether we like them or not. And there's plenty of governments. I don't think I can name a government that I like. Switzerland may be closest. I'm not sure. but they're operating in their own self-interest, yet we are constantly focused on that and the American people. And conservatives are brought to heel on this. I mean, they are convinced that this $32 million per hour we're spending on the war on terror is somehow
a good thing.
Acceptable.
Yeah, I mean, and they brag about it. It's not even it's acceptable. They brag about it.
I found some quotes. I love quotes. I think I admire people who can give a succinct quote.
Mm-hmm.
It takes me 2 hours a day, 5 days a week to try to get out what I want to say. These are some interesting ones. This is Leo Tolstoy. Even if the absence of government really did mean anarchy in a negative, disorderly sense, which is far from being the case, even then, no anarchical disorder could be worse than the position to which government has led humanity.
I mean, agreed.
Friedrich Hayek.
Oh, that's a good guy.
He has just got some brilliant one-liners. We shall all be the gainers if we can create a world fit for small states to live in. And that's about the localism issue and the better we are there. Here is one, Cornelius Tacticus. I've got to assume that's a Roman dude.
I would assume. I don't know. Not familiar with that name. But.
Tacticus, he's got to be some big general or something.
Right,
it's got to be where tactician comes from and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Formerly we suffered from crimes. Now we suffer from laws.
You're right about that.
Robert Heinlein. No intelligent man has any respect for an unjust law. I love that one. And here's an oldie but a goodie. Plato. This and no other is the root from which a tyrant springs. When he first appears, he is a protector.
Oh, man. That's it.
Yeah. We've got some news. We'll take a quick break. I've got some news on Federal Reserve along with a brand new sound effect I'm going to try out with you for new Fed spending. The Fed has set another kind of record or reversal or whatever. It's what facilitates, you know, what people don't understand about the Federal Reserve. A lot of conservatives hate the welfare state.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're starting to turn on the warfare state, but they're not, don't seem to quite be there yet because they don't demand it. Because Donald Trump is kind of, he's kind of turned us back into militarists, and Middle East seems to be set in stone. But if people would understand that the Federal Reserve is the only way that you have a welfare and a warfare state, you can't go into debt like the United States has without the Federal Reserve.
I mean, it's just insane to look at it like a balance sheet. What the heck are you doing?
Well, we just ignore the liability side.
Yeah, that's it.
We just look at all of the GDP. We look at the unemployment rate. We don't look at the other side, which is all the debt it takes to accomplish that.
I mean, we're just scooping it out like fist over hand, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll make this a real quick segment. I don't think there's a lot of appetite out here for Federal Reserve talk, as much as I enjoy it and interested in it. There's not a lot, but I'll try to spice it up with a good sound effect. We'll be right back. Stay with us. All night
with the king. Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
All right, Ron, I'm going to do everybody a favor and just do a short segment here on Federal Reserve. It's just, I think it's, these are one of those things. I try to bring up stuff on this show that I don't think anybody else is talking about. I do not breathlessly report on every impeachment player. I'm just not going to do it. It makes my stomach hurt to think we've got to go through the next 2 or 3 months of this impeachment stuff.
I mean, just talking points that I do not care about.
It really is just, and then we've got 2 or 3 months of the impeachment stuff. That seems like about how long this is going to be wrapped up by Christmas. Right. It's going to end up in nothing.
Yeah.
Trump may get impeached, but he's not going to be convicted. He's not going to go anywhere. Right. It's going to raise a ton of money for the Democrats because they're going to say they're trying to hold Trump accountable, and then Trump's going to raise a ton of money off of it because people are going to see Trump attacked.
It's a money-making scheme.
It's going to work fantastic for them. But so in just trying to make sure it's been said somewhere on the airwaves, the Federal Reserve – oh, here we go. Hold on a second. I've got a new I've decided – well, let me see. Hold on a second. I'm doing this all backwards. I didn't really plan this out well, but I think it's funny. So I'm going to give it a whirl. Let me see if I can find this. Yeah, here we go. As of last week, the Fed's balance sheet is now back over $4 trillion. Now, when the financial crisis started, the Federal Reserve had on its balance sheet, and everybody doesn't understand the Federal Reserve, they will print up money out of thin air and go out and buy stuff. It's a great gig if you can get it.
Man, you know, it's just...
And you get to collect it. You know, you go out and you
collect interest off of it, too.
Collect interest off of it. But they had about $800 billion, which is crazy in the first place. Yeah. But during the financial crisis, they got that up to $4.4 trillion.
Man, yeah.
This was an emergency measure. I mean, they talked about it when it happened.
Unprecedented. I mean, it was just like, oh, God, we can only do this one time.
Yeah, we can't believe we have to do this. Right. But again, this is where they scare the bejesus out of everybody, and then they pretend they're riding to the rescue, not acknowledging the fact they caused the crisis in the first place.
Right.
But so they went from $800 billion to $4.4 trillion. They said, when things calm down, we'll get all this stuff off our balance sheet. We'll return back to normal, which would have been $800 billion.
Yeah, that's not happening.
They got to about $3.8 billion, and then they turned around, and now they are money printing again. So here's my sound effect.
Motivated by concerns.
Oh, hold on a second. I've got too many things going on in my windows up here. So I was trying to add a little color to my ideas about what the Federal Reserve is doing, and I thought, brand new money.
Just brand
new. We've got brand new baby money
baby
is being
money.
Printed up. Fed's balance sheet is now back over $4 trillion. At roughly the same time, the U.S. debt hit $23 trillion for the first time, surging over $250 billion just since September.
Man.
And a third of the way to regaining its all-time highs of $4.5 trillion.
Why are not more people like on in the Fed bandwagon?
Because they don't understand it, because nobody else talks about it but me, and probably I'm losing people right now.
Yeah, like, they are what's killing America.
Well, this is why I try to bring this to it, just that, listen, it's a miracle. Yeah, brand new baby money where there was nothing
just,
before.
Just invented.
it's truly a miracle.
Yeah.
You don't have any children, do you?
No.
This is what you get to listen to for 4 or 5 hours at a time sometimes.
And I'm good. Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, I remember those days so much. The only difference between, you know, a newborn baby and creating this new money, they're both miracles.
Right. It just happened.
None of us can create new money out of thin air.
Right.
But the Federal Reserve somehow has this mystical power, and they create this miracle. And
it's illegal when we do it.
Yeah, exactly. We go to jail if we do it. They are rewarded handsomely for they do it. The only difference is an actual newborn baby is on the hook for, you know, they will grow up as a debt slave to newborn money that has just been created by the Federal
this
Reserve.
This is multi-generational debt slaves.
Yeah, and I was talking yesterday. You know what's so sad? I mean, it is probably one of my hot – the wars and the debt are probably two of my – and taxes. That's funny. I could probably keep going. I probably think I've got a lot more hot button issues than I thought I did.
Yeah, well, I've got a top 10 list. I can like rattle off.
I've been saying, you know, we're running up all this debt, and this is what our kids have got to pay back. They're never going to pay back.
No.
Our kids are going to get the bankruptcy. They're going to get to go through the nation-wrecking bankruptcy where people stop loaning us money and services go down and bridges fall apart.
When we're starting to try to move to Mexico because they got a better economy than we do.
Right.
They're actually going to a silver-backed economy, I'm pretty sure.
See, that's what I think is funny about the wall. I think that Americans better slow down.
They're keeping us in. So.
I think we're going to be wanting to go the other way at some point.
Right.
Did you see that sad story today about those Mormons that were killed down in Mexico?
I did not.
10 people, beautiful women and children going to a wedding, actually were attacked by a cartel down in Mexico.
Man.
Murdered. Americans who were living down there doing something. And, you know, I know what a lot of people looked at this and they just thought it was just a horrible story. And, man, I got to tell you, I just look at it and go, that's 10 more innocent people killed in this war on drugs.
Yeah. Well, Mexico did. I think they've now moved that they're legalizing all drugs.
Yeah, but that's not enough. The black market and the cartels will continue to serve the American black market. They will continue to run it.
I heard that the avocado farms down there are black market, and there's cartels with avocados. Explain that one to me.
Yeah, buddy. I'm not really sure. I don't know those healthy fats. Like I mean, the keto diet.
They're making so much money off avocados. They're going away from drugs. I don't know.
Good to know. Get a little side hustle. All right. When we come back, we've talked a little bit about the deep state. There's another emerging threat the conservatives need to be worried about. Right. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, and we have in studio with us Ron Morris from the Mississippi Libertarian Party. Comes in every couple of weeks. We just kind of go over the news of the day. What did you think about the death of a Baghdadi, the Big Baghdadi?
You know, it's just, you know, irrelevant in my daily life, you know? Just one of those things like,
Do you think it happened?
No.
I mean, you know, no. I don't know. The death of Osama bin Laden really stunk to me. The whole idea that this incredible wealth of information about all things Al-Qaeda wasn't armed, wasn't fighting back, but we just double-tapped him and dumped him in the ocean. Yeah. That stunk to me. No, I didn't think that was true.
There is no way we killed Osama bin Laden. This guy was on dialysis in the mountains for months and months.
Yeah, back in 2000, 2001.
When we couldn't find him? No, I'm sorry. Like, you would have had pictures just like Saddam. We had video of the guy.
Right.
I mean, there would have been some confirmation. Oh, no, we just buried him. Put him in the ocean. Yeah, okay, come on.
And then they come out and they tell the American people, well, this is standard with the law of international combat or something like that. I'm like, right. If that was the case, then the oceans would be full.
Yeah, come on.
There's been, you know, several million people killed in these wars in the Middle East. Putting them all in the ocean, you'd have to... We could make an island out of these people.
Yeah. Osama was dead before we killed him, quote unquote.
Right. And Baghdadi, now, Baghdadi, I got to say, he might be pretty inspirational to ISIS because he's been killed two or three, four, five, or six times.
Yeah.
So that if you're an ISIS adherent, you start to really think this guy is some kind of deity because he keeps coming back to life.
Or maybe it's just the idea. Like, maybe they're just people springing up, I am the Baghdadi.
You know, Baghdadi is not a real name. That was not his name. Baghdadi actually was a made-up name to refer to a guy from Baghdad because that's where he was from.
Right.
So I can't pronounce or even remember his real name. I ran across a story yesterday. I won't play the clip because it's just an NBC News story, but, you know, just in this absurd $32 million per hour war on terror that I talk about all the time, the NBC News did a story yesterday that ISIS is now moving around in, anyone? Iraq.
Wow. Imagine that.
Kind of feels like after 16 years, we might kind of have a handle on what's going on in that country.
I thought we defeated ISIS.
Well, that's an inconvenient question, Ron. Above my pay grade.
That's what I've heard people proclaim is we've defeated ISIS.
100% of the caliphate.
Yeah,
completely just gone.
Destroyed.
Well, you know what's interesting, though, is now the commanders will say, well, you can't defeat an ideology, which I agree with.
100%.
Yeah, it's exactly right. And that's why we shouldn't be spending $32 million per hour just making it worse.
Right.
What I do find interesting is that the real idea, you know, this is saying that ISIS is in Iraq, yet for some reason we were forced, I guess, because as a moral country like we are, we would never have done this voluntarily. We were forced to go in and take the oil in Syria and guard it because we were told we needed to keep it safe from ISIS.
Yeah, that's
ISIS is defeated in Syria. Yet we still need to take the oil fields to protect the oil fields from
Got to make sure that oil's safe, man. That's all about the oil.
One of the most disgusting things that I've seen in years and years when it comes to... did you see Bashar al-Assad actually came on... he did an interview where he said Donald Trump is the most transparent president in the history of the United States. He said, I don't agree with... I mean, obviously, Assad's been under attack by the United States by... Obama and now Trump. He said, it's not that I think he's a good president, but at least he's transparent. At least he just came out and said, we're taking the oil.
Yeah. I mean, there's something to be said for that, you know.
Clips out a couple of days ago of American soldiers being interviewed by people on the street near the oil fields. The soldiers really seemed, he said, we're just kind of patrolling around. He said, we'll may have answers for you later. The soldiers that are there, our troops that are there, don't even really know exactly what they're doing. And I can't believe they feel very good about the fact that they're taking Syrian people's oil.
We are putting our brothers and sisters in harm's way for oil.
Yeah.
And we have some of the largest deposits of oil in the United States.
Yep. We're oil independent. I mean, it's kind of like that's the insanity of the times we live in. ISIS has been defeated,
right?
But we need to protect the oil from Syria. We're taking the oil from Syria so that we can do something with it.
Yeah.
But we're oil independent. We're energy independent.
Like those are opposite. They're both of them can't be true. You know, they're opposite sides of the coin. So you can't say them in the same sentence and believe it. At least maybe I'm no. illogical. I mean, I just
well,
I don't know.
I mean, you and me both. I've sat here for months thinking that I may be insane. I've actually thought about this. I've thought about bringing a psychiatrist on. You see those couches over there in the studio?
Just talk to me.
on air, he could diagnose me with why I won't accept that this is the greatest economy that the world has ever known. Yeah. Even though, because when I look at the numbers and I see a 1.9% GDP, and I know historically we've had 4.6, 5.2, 6.0.
Oh, yeah.
To me, that says, well, this isn't the greatest economy we've ever had. Yeah. Well, we've got $23 trillion in debt, and we used to not have $23 trillion in debt. I think this is not the greatest economy, but I'm the only person who questions it.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're not the only one, but the other one over here.
in my little world here. So I thought, then I ran across this. I thought this was interesting. This is some Breitbart propaganda here. Iran on Monday held an event commemorating the 40th anniversary of the 1979 hostage crisis at the U.S. Embassy and also announced fresh violations of the 2015 nuclear deal it arranged with former U.S. President Barack Obama, including plans to deploy a new uranium centrifuge that would work 50 times faster than the equipment it was permitted under the deal. Ali Akbar Salehi, head of the Iranian Atomic Energy Organization, announced the prototype centrifuge, adding Tehran is now spinning 60 centrifuges of less advanced design, twice as many as the nuclear deal allowed. Fox News reported Iran is getting close to a one-year breakout period of producing enough weapons-grade material to build an atomic bomb, a significant threshold because only the most drastic measure could prevent the Iranians from taking the final steps at this point. The Daily Caller, and I spend time on this show, what I consider kind of breaking apart these pandering conservative websites and their propaganda. Daily Caller has the headline, Iran violates nuclear deal, comma, again.
Yeah.
Didn't we rip this deal up?
I thought that was said. Oh, wow, we ripped that up. We don't have to abide by that. And I thought that was over with, right? That was proclaimed.
Yeah, but Daily Caller and Breitbart are still announcing that they're violating the terms of an agreement that we got out of. Right. Now, what I think dovetails this is some support for Donald Trump. I want to give Donald Trump some support. Today, I was a little surprised with this story because I didn't know it would take so long. Yesterday marked the beginning of us pulling out. Trump got us out of the Paris Climate Accords.
Right. Okay. I love that.
Yeah. President Trump on Monday began the year-long process of withdrawing the U.S. from the Paris Climate Accords. The official announcement cements a promise Trump made in the White House Rose Garden in 2017 when he first announced his intention to withdraw from the global climate change agreement signed by every other country in the world. And I loved when Trump got us out of that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He did a great thing. I'm stunned that this thing is so bureaucratically a mess that it takes.
Oh, man, it's
horrible. It's like 2 years since he said it. Now we can finally start the process. It's going to take us 3 years to get out of this thing.
How do you entangle a government entangle your process so much?
Yeah, it takes 3 years.
It takes 3 years to get out of this.
But the reason I think these two stories go together, where Daily Caller and Breitbart are calling out the Iranians for violating the tenets of a deal that we got out of, that we ripped up.
Right.
How would Americans feel if in 10 years we get sanctions or people say that we're not living up to our part of the climate change agreement? We got out of it.
Yeah.
We can't be held accountable for an agreement we're not a party to.
Right. Yeah, it just can't happen.
Again, I need the psychiatrist.
But, yeah.
Why is this not obvious to everybody? How is it that Daily Caller and Breitbart get away with talking about Iran violating an agreement when there is no agreement?
So I do see this happening, that the United States will have sanctions by the UN with this, even though not being a part of it.
The climate agreement?
No, it's happening. It's going to happen.
The UN's going to sanction us.
Yes. They will get all the countries together, and there will be sanctions against the United States for it.
I wonder what the American people's reaction to that would be.
Oh, they'll probably get pissed off at that point. But
I don't understand. If they're good for the goose, good for the gander?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, sometimes it's kind of like the coup against Donald Trump. I bring up this point a lot. As conservatives, particularly, we have tacitly supported the overthrow of a lot of governments around the world, but we don't seem to like it when they do
play
it
around
to us.
Yeah, play around. And it's going to happen, I promise you, because the whole world's aboard this climate change, and they're going to tax us, or they're going to find a way to say we're not doing business with anybody that's of this subpar, climate change. I mean, it's
polluters.
It's going to happen.
Yeah, and I can see that. But I would hope, again, if that comes about, I will use it as a teachable moment.
Right.
Hey, countries don't like it when you sanction them. We throw out sanctions like Skittles.
Left and right. And it's going to happen. I'm mark my word, it might be 5 years down the road, it might be 10 years down the road. But that's exactly what's going to happen. And Americans are going to be mad. But we've been doing it for decades.
Yeah, like the Iranians are mad right now, and they're starving in the streets, and the Yemenis and the Russians.
How many governments and rulers have we toppled? I mean, countless.
It's dozens.
I mean,
dozens and dozens. It just depends on, some of them are still a little. There was there are big protests going on right now, violent protests in Iraq. And they burned down, I believe, the Iranian embassy or Iranian consulate or something like that yesterday. My first thought was, the CIA is in there.
No, yeah.
CIA is burning down Iranian stuff and trying to turn the people of Iran against their neighbor. I mean, in Iraq against their neighbor in Iran. All right, we got to take a break. But when we come back, we talked about here this idea about this coup that conservatives don't like. And I hope they will use that to stop and think, I bet you the Iranians didn't like it when we overthrew their government in 1953.
Oh, yeah.
They had a democratically very popular president named Mossadegh, and the CIA in Operation Ajax went in and fomented a violent revolutionary overthrow of that democratically elected leader.
Right.
We don't like it when they do it to Donald Trump.
Yeah.
They didn't like it then, even though now this is the 40th anniversary of them taking back the embassy after they got sick of living under the thumb of the strong man that the United States imposed. So libertarians for decades have been warning about this idea of the deep state and empowering them to do all that stuff, and now conservatives are seeing the danger of the deep state. I don't know the lesson will be absorbed by a lot of people. Because if this one goes away, they'll think that Trump's deep state is great, or Mike Pence, if he were to follow up, his deep state will be good. It's just a bad Democrat. Because I hear all the time, Obama holdovers. It's an Obama holdover.
Right.
These are all Obama holdovers. No, this is the permanent structure of the bureaucratic deep state that has always been there.
They will always be there. And they'll be there after Trump. They'll be there after Pence. They'll consistently be there.
Yes. They do not know party.
They're faceless. They're faceless bureaucrats.
Right.
And they rule what's going on.
I get more emails from listeners about Obama holdovers in this stuff.
Get over that. Your listeners got to get over that. It's so far past that.
Yes, Obama was terrible.
I agree.
Absolutely horrible.
I agree.
Yes, Obama was involved in this spying on Donald Trump and stuff.
Right.
But the deep state is a permanent situation. Eisenhower was warning about this. Kennedy was warning about this.
It goes so far deep.
Yes.
That you can't blame it on any current president that any of us remember right now.
Right. Well, people did not heed the warnings of those of us who I wasn't warning. I was a Kool-Aid drinking Republican, but have not heeded the warnings of people who've warned against this kind of stuff. I'm going to bring up something else here. There's another thing that libertarians and people who are for small, limited government have been warning about as well, that conservatives largely have ignored. And I've got a bunch of clips that shows that this is something we should be paying attention to. It's an uncomfortable situation.
Uh-oh.
It's a uncomfortable topic to talk about.
It usually is.
But we are also seeing essentially a police state rolled out in this country.
Yeah,
this is not to call out, not to say anything bad about anybody who's serving in uniform in the country right now. But we allowed the deep state to sneak up on us.
Right.
I think we better be prepared for what might happen, if things go sideways.
It's coming.
Yep. All right. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a Complete Flag Source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a Complete Flag Source has all of the right brackets. Visit a Complete Flag Source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I like the French braid
Welcome back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WIAB. Ron Morris with the Mississippi Libertarian Party in studio with me today. Okay, well, Ron, we're going to bump this other stuff back for just a second. I was telling you about this group of 10 in Mexico that were murdered. Got caught in basically a gangland war down in Mexico, and 10 Americans, really, I don't know why, it really just looks like beautiful families.
Right.
Little kids, and just, it is just disgusting. This has just come out. I've just seen this. This is from Fox News. Trump calls for war against Mexican drug cartel monsters after Americans murdered. These are the tweets that Donald Trump sent out. A wonderful family and friends from Utah got caught between two vicious drug cartels who were shooting at each other, with the result being many great American people killed, including young children and some missing. If Mexico needs or requests help in cleaning out these monsters, the United States stands ready, willing, and able to get involved and do the job quickly and effectively. The great new president of Mexico has made this a big issue, but the cartels have become so large and powerful that you sometimes need an army to defeat an army. And there was a story a couple of weeks ago. The Mexican cartels, actually, when El Chapo's son was arrested, the Mexican cartels went and defeated, in one particular facility, defeated the Mexican military, and the military was forced to release El Chapo's son as a new drug cartel. Just more drug war.
Yeah. So I can tell President Trump an easy way to defeat the cartels. I mean, it's very simple. Quit the war on drugs.
Yep.
It's done. You drop all the money, drop the power. The power's done.
We're still battling Al Capone up in Chicago, aren't we? And Al Capone's son and his grandson now.
Yeah.
No, we're not, because we legalized liquor and the Capone dynasty died.
Yeah, it's
Mafia died there.
There's no violence without the legalization. Ending the war on drugs, it's stupid. It's cost money, lives, and just ruined American lives. I mean, it's completely ruined families, generationally.
But what's the percentage of Americans after seeing this? And it is horrific. I mean, I got to admit, I mean, it is very sad. It's tragic. It's disgusting. How many Americans realize that we're the reason that these cartels even exist?
Oh, I mean, we've been giving them money. We've been giving them training. We've been giving them weapons.
Yeah, CIA picked the Sinaloa cartel as the winner down there. I've done stories about it where the CIA has arrangements with the Sinaloa cartel to give them safe passage to bring drugs in the United States.
I mean, they're making money off of the cartels.
Yes.
I mean, it blows my mind. And then why is all this violence going on? We've been giving them guns for years, decades.
Well, this is just exactly what happened in alcohol prohibition, except we were so smart back in the early 1900s that it only lasted 14 years before we realized we'd made a mistake. We're 100 years into this now, and most people still stick their heads in the sand.
And then how many people do we have using drugs now? I mean,
it's not like it's worked.
It's not worked. I mean, people are going to get drugs regardless.
Right.
Might as well legalize it. Let it be.
Yes.
You know, and I think you take the taboo factor of it off, and then it's you're not going to have as many users. I mean, I really don't.
But the bottom line is this has just been an abject failure. Trump goes on to say this is the time for Mexico, with the help of the United States, to wage war, all capital letters, WAR, on the drug cartels and wipe them off the face of the earth. We merely await a call from your great new president. Let me tell you something, Donald Trump. Go ahead and kill as many cartel members as you want.
They're just going
to make more.
I mean, they will. And so I think we drop war way too easily. I don't think we understand the ramifications.
Well, you want to know some of the biggest failures of the United States? The war on terror, obviously, is a colossal waste of money and time. And all we hear are headlines that ISIS is regrouping here or there, or we got a new plot here or there. Or, you know, the war on terror, the war on drugs, the war on poverty, the war on cancer. As soon as they label something a war, it's a massive failure.
And whatever they declared war on grows.
Right.
I mean, it grows exponentially.
Right.
Because there's more funding going into creating it. I mean, it really does. I mean, it's nothing that has been solved from a quote-unquote war.
Yep.
I mean, at all. And as a libertarian, the only way to defeat this is to let individuals have their own freedom to choose.
To make mistakes and do dumb stuff. They're doing it right now.
Right.
People are doing drugs. They can't keep drugs out of prisons.
Right. And one of the most secure places in the United States is prisons. Cannot keep them out.
And no wall's going to change that?
No wall.
There was a story the other day. I didn't even do it because I don't want to keep piling on my listeners because I know they disagree with me on this in a lot of ways. It doesn't – emotionally, they disagree with me.
Right.
You can't agree with the – you can't argue with the logic of it, that this is an abject failure and that we should be trying something different. But most people are so emotionally invested in this thing that they believe it's not their job to keep their children off of drugs. It's the government's job.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, everybody that I know whose children have gotten caught up in drugs or something, they want their child treated medically because it's an illness. But for all the strangers, for everybody else out there, I want them locked up.
Well, that's exactly how perception changes, is when it happens to you and your family, it changes dramatically.
Yeah.
And so you want to throw every drug offender in jail until your son's addicted to some opiate or, whatever the case may be. And you realize it's a bigger issue. It's not law and order and throw these people and throw them in the jail. No, that's not the answer.
If you treated the drug problem in the United States, and I will say it's a problem. A lot of people ruin their lives on drugs. No,
I agree.
100%
agree.
No doubt about it. If you changed this, if you legalized it here in this country, gave people the freedom to make stupid choices because they make them anyway, and you treated addiction as a medical issue, these 10 people are still alive.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, you look at examples like Portugal, they legalized everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
And their death rates went down, their homeless went down. I mean, all these statistics that were just atrocious were wonderful after they just quit trying to police their citizens.
And I don't know why conservatives get in this idea where they say, you know, we look at people absurdly, constantly tell us that education just needs more money. We know we've lost, you know, education's been getting worse and worse, even though we're spending more and more, and the liberals tell us we just haven't fully funded it. And conservatives rightly point to this and say that's absurd.
Right.
It's not about the money.
It's not.
But when it comes to the drug war, conservatives think we just haven't gone far enough.
Yeah.
We just need to spend more money. We need more police. We need more prisons.
Absolutely. And it's stupid. It's stupid. You can't solve this problem by locking people up. It hasn't proved successful. We've tried that theory for decades.
100 years.
It doesn't work.
100 years we've been fighting the drug war in our current form. We fought it for we fought alcohol prohibition for 14 years. And since that day in 1933 up into 2019, we have successfully managed an alcohol industry. Alcohol destroys some people's lives.
Oh, all the time.
Leads to accidents, leads to fights,
yes.
Leads to abuse in the homes.
Mm-hmm.
Alcohol is fraught with danger, but you do not have alcohol gangs in Mexico slaughter 10 Mormon women and children.
Right. You don't have Dos Equis down there.
Nope.
Cartels.
They're not fighting Jose Cuervo people in the streets.
It's just not happening.
They go to court if they have a problem.
Right. And so, you know, we need to look at that. There's not that violence associated with it, the massive scale gang violence. And, you know, and I think that there's a way to look at this rationally and with reason, facts, not just a talking point that somebody put on a news article.
Well, you know? I've got a great friend. She may be listening because I kind of call her out every now and then, and she knows that I do, and we laugh about it. I can get her to listen to all of the facts, and then at the very end of the conversation, she says, I just don't care about all that stuff. It's just not right.
Oh, man. Well, you mean you can be willfully ignorant to it, I guess.
I understand the emotional gut reaction, but if we are going to legislate and run our country by emotion,
yeah,
we're just a bunch of leftists.
Yeah, emotions do not have any reason in policy. That's why I feel like libertarians are more fact-driven, they're more rational, they want to make good decisions. It's not led on emotions.
Right.
I mean, that's what I feel like most libertarians are very sound in that aspect.
Well, and we've built in this country a mechanism which is essentially a police state right now that came up against the war on drugs. I can't imagine how much safer our police officers would be on the streets not fighting drug gangs on our streets.
Oh, my gosh. We would have... There would not be all these police deaths. There wouldn't have the violence towards police officers if it wasn't for the war on drugs.
I know. I had this conversation with a police officer that I worked with at the fair over the course of 2 weekends.
Yeah.
And he knows that this is absolutely the case. He doesn't like running into the stoners when he's out there on patrol. And I said, I understand. Do you like to run up against a drunk driver? And he said, no. And I said, well, that's perfectly legal. It's not legal to drink and drive, but the substance is legal, and you run into that. But you don't fear somebody with a bottle of Jack Daniels may shoot you in the head because you didn't just discover something illegal on them. You found a legal substance.
Right, exactly. And I mean, and so there's this fear that is put into both police officers and the population that was created solely by the war on drugs.
Yep.
I mean, that's it.
And, you know, with this situation, if Trump's tweets are to be believed, he is considering deploying the United States military down to Mexico to engage in armed conflict with the cartels that American drug laws have created.
Yeah.
Just the same way.
And funded.
The exact same way we also send our troops halfway around the world in the Middle East to fight the terrorists that we created.
Yeah, and so I wonder which cartel we're going to side with when we get down there.
Well, we're on, the CIA has sided with Sinaloa.
So we'll probably do the opposite one with our military, right?
Well, yeah, the Pentagon usually picks another side.
Right.
Like in, like with the Syrian war,
right, yeah,
where the Pentagon-backed Kurds
right.
were actually fighting the CIA-backed so-called moderate rebels.
Because that makes sense, right?
Right. We were paying both sides.
Yeah.
We were providing weapons to both sides and just watching them duke it out.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's all about arms deals.
Well, I got this is...
Yeah.
This is insanity.
It is insanity. Doing the same course of action over these past 100 years of how this drug war has fought, and we've got worse. I mean, completely worse in every aspect of it. That's insanity, and we just keep going down that path.
Yeah, we want to double down. And this is where conservatives are even worse about it. I mean, right. I've got to just say it out loud. Look, conservatives, you can have your emotional reaction, but it's not working.
It's not working. It is factually not working.
All right. Well, that's kind of depressing news. Anyway, got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
Right, Ron. What I wanted to get into before I saw this headline on this cartel stuff, you know, we were talking during the break. What is really sad to me is that these people were attacked by monsters. Donald Trump was right about that. These are real life, flesh and blood psychopathic monsters.
I agree. Absolutely agree.
But if there had not been a war on drugs, these people who did this horrific attack, who have obviously been twisted and trained as psychopathic killers, would be productive Mexican citizens, teachers or ambulance drivers, or they would just be doing some normal job.
Right.
But we've created these huge cartels which now prey on the young kids in Mexico. And, you know, the other thing that kills me about, you know, particularly conservatives who are interested in immigration control, what do they think people are fleeing in Central America and Mexico? They're fleeing incredible cartel violence.
Yeah, why don't you just stay there and make your country better is what I always hear. I'm like,
yeah.
How are you supposed to do that when we're funneling money to these cartels that are actively shooting people and just terrorizing their citizens? No wonder they want to come to America. I mean, I'm sorry. Like, if I was a Mexican dad
right,
and this was going on, I'm doing whatever I can to get into the United States.
It's this. It's the exact same thing as the war on terror. Europe's getting overrun with these Muslim refugees.
Right.
They weren't walking into Europe by the millions before
no.
We went in there and kicked the hornet's nest over and just destroyed town after town after town after town. Now they're there. They're there for a reason.
Right. And we created this.
Yes.
We, as the United States of America, created this. And we're getting the blowback, and we don't like the blowback.
So maybe if we just spend a little bit more money doing what we've already been doing, we can get over the hump. I mean, this is insanity. This is literally, was it Einstein do the same thing,
Respecting
a different result?
Yeah. It's insanity. That's what it is.
This is very concerning because this is such a horrific thing. This is sometimes spawns some level of action. It's like when, I don't know how many times I could sarcastically do it. I see Breitbart is especially propagandistic on this stuff where they talk about a ton of cartel violence. They have a whole section of their website that always reports on the latest cartel atrocity to stoke the idea that these cartels are terrible and need to be dealt with. In the history of mankind, we have never defeated a drug problem. I mean, I can't remember if it was... I don't know. I think every president comes in and says, we're going to eradicate drugs from our country and all this stuff. It's never happened in any country at any time.
Yeah.
I mean, people are human beings. The ancient Egyptians were doing stuff to screw with their minds.
Right.
I mean, this is just something you cannot stop human nature. What it would take in this country to truly stop drug use, drug abuse, drug trafficking, all of these things— would make life here so unacceptable. They would have to go further than the Soviet Union went with their citizens, with the control of their citizens, if we truly want to combat this problem. So if everybody is prepared to give up all of their freedoms, I'm talking about state-mandated drug tests. I'm talking about roadside checkpoints. I'm talking about your kids being snatched out of class once a week to have to pee in a cup or have a blood test. I mean, there are things we could do, but it would require totalitarian control at the government level to beat back any drug use in this country. It still wouldn't work if you don't throw in a medical thing to address addiction. But if you just want to stop even the rise or the new people using drugs, we would need a totalitarian government to accomplish that. I'm afraid some people are willing to do that.
Well, yeah, they obviously are because we're already slipping towards that already.
Yeah,
as it is,
and that's the segment I was really going to do.
I mean, that's we are. We're slipping there. I mean, not slipping. We're going there pretty quickly.
I did a show a couple of weeks back talking about this. Do you know that I'm going to try to get these numbers right. I'm not going to be exactly right. In 1980, there were 8,000. Excuse me. In 1980, there were 3,000 SWAT raids around the country. In 2015, 2016, there were 84,000 SWAT raids on private residences in the United States.
Wow.
That's the police state that has grown up around this war on drugs, and those are largely for drug crimes. And we've created a militarized police that is out there trying to stop a human behavior that is as old as time.
I mean, it's really sad. I mean, and also if you look at the number of SWAT teams there are for stuff like the Department of Education.
Yeah,
has a SWAT team.
Yeah.
Please tell me why. Are they going to, I mean, it just blows my mind. I mean, there's way too much over-militarization of our police. And I think a lot of these things could be done with a phone call, honestly. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
Like, hey, well, and really, in my opinion, the police should be more of a night watchman instead of, actively law enforcement.
Right.
That's my model of policing is kind of more community oriented, making sure that people are not breaking into people's houses at night, driving across.
When somebody is being aggressive towards you, the police are the ones that come in and take that threat away.
Yeah, that they're violating your liberties.
Right.
You know, that there's somebody there to be that person to step in.
But now, if you don't have a seatbelt on, which hurts absolutely nobody but yourself, if you're stupid enough to ride around without a seatbelt, I wear a seatbelt constantly, but now that is essentially a crime. You can be pulled over and given a ticket for not wearing a seatbelt.
Right. Yeah. I mean, to me, that's a personal choice.
Yeah.
And it should be. I don't need a protector in my life. You know, it should be up to my own mind and to make either good decisions, dumb decisions, or indifferent decisions.
Well, and but that's, you know, that's actually kind of a that's kind of the way people think. I know there are people who will hear my resistance to seatbelt laws, and they'll say, "Well, Mike, but how many people have been saved by seatbelt laws?" And I'll agree with them to a degree. I mean, it is true, but how much, you know, how many things do we need to be kept safe from in our own personal life, and what kind of control are we willing to? I've said it before.
Right.
I'm going to I'll become president and I'll do the shower harness.
Right.
I've done the statistics. A lot of people die falling in the shower. I can do a government mandated
right.
shower harness that also has a government mandated camera in your shower to make sure you are appropriately putting, you can't come get in the shower and not put the harness on. We need an enforcement mechanism that tells you, that makes sure that everybody's in compliance. You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah.
We can go down that path if we need to.
We can bubble wrap America if we wanted to.
Right.
I mean, that's essentially what
it would take. Total government control. And conservatives, a lot of conservatives are okay with that.
Yeah, and I don't think people truly want that in their own self, in their own minds, but they're acting like they do. I mean, they're saying they do. But in practice, if you see that totalitarian government aspect of it, it's scary. It's absolutely scary.
Yeah. All right, got to take a quick break. We'll be one more segment with Ron Morris on the other side.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Final segment here on the Mike Madison Show with Ron Morris, Mississippi Libertarian Party. All right, Ron, we didn't really get into it. I have just had so many good clips for this. This drug war stuff really kind of got us off on another thing. But it's something, I don't know if people are tired of hearing about it on the show. I try not to really overcover it. Boy, it's just one of these things. If we caught on to the bogus war on terror, the bogus war on drugs, the bogus war on poverty,
mm-hmm.
and fix those things,
man,
this would be a different country.
Man.
Holy cow.
We would be just in a different position right now, and we would actually be what America was kind of designed to be in the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, have freedom, and we would have unending prosperity.
No debt. I mean, if you don't fight these extremely expensive wars, you're not harming people abroad. You're not harming people here in this country. You still have, you know, life is always ugly. There's always going to be, you know, issues. There is no utopia. But God knows, I do not want to see the police state roll out to try to deliver to me some kind of a drug-free utopia in this country. It's not worth it.
Well, when I'm dictator, I will make sure to get us all out of this.
As libertarians are. Hey, I did have a good idea. I was watching something last night. You know, we are 1 year out from this election. It just makes me... I mean, I do a radio show about politics, and I'm not at all excited about the next year of politics. But I saw this Race to the White House headline they run on the news every day, and they were showing the Democrats all these nut jobs that are running on that side.
Wackos.
And I thought, I had a stroke of genius. I thought, they should really make it a race. Like, you've got to start in San Diego. During the course of the year, you get 1 year.
Yeah.
You start in San Diego. You have to get to all 50 states to end up at Election Day in Washington, D.C., got to get all 50 states. Here's the thing, though. With the Democrats,
right.
No fossil fuels can be used.
Hey.
No combustion engines.
Hey, I like
it. Nothing that is powered that creates greenhouse gases, which means that even electric cars that are powered by electricity, that's coal plants or natural gas, anything like that.
Man.
That.
That would be entertaining.
That, I would watch it. It's right. got like it's, Amazing Race right. of politics.
It feeds the reality show thing. They could do all kinds of stunts. You could use a bike, a kayak, a kite with a skateboard. I don't care. You know, these environmentalists, lovely, loving people on the left, get through all 50 states in 1 year using no gasoline.
Oh, well, you know, I really like that idea. Like, if we could have all the candidates, and then they could have, like, stationering, so you can actually put a billboard up in this town if you win this this little debate or
right, you win a stage or
whatever.
I'd love to see, you know, Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders biking through the Rockies, knocking at each other, you know, shoulder against shoulder, bam, you know, trying to get through.
American Gladiator style, like start, have that. Yeah, yeah. I like that.
See, I can't believe reality show Trump hasn't thought about this. Yeah. It would be a great idea. All right, anything going on? You got a couple libertarian candidates running today?
Yes, I'm actually going to go up and help them campaign the last couple hours in the Columbus area, the Golden Triangle, and get an election winning tonight. So
yeah, and then your victory.
Victory.
Yeah, your victory. Well, I'm sure Mississippi will be a slightly freer place tomorrow when we get done with these elections. Anything else going on with the Libertarian Party?
Not right now. We're working on planning on our convention for next year. It will be in the beginning of 2020, so we'll be looking forward to that and, you know, getting a lot of people out that are wanting to learn about independent thought.
Any Libertarian candidates for president in the next 10 seconds here? We got
Justin Amash. He's my guy. He's not declared yet, but it's happening.
I think he shot himself in the foot. You and I should debate that sometime. I'll tell you what, I think he's made some bad political mistakes. He'd be a fantastic president, I do believe. But boy, he's turned off a lot of people.
Yeah, he's my guy though.
Got to play the game to some small degree.
Yeah.
All right, Ron. Well, I certainly appreciate it, and good luck with your candidates today.
All right, appreciate it.
Thanks for coming in. Yeah, that's all the time I got today. I will see everybody tomorrow. Have a good day. Bye bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.